All right. Can everybody hear me all right?
Yes.
All right. Jared's in the back. Give me the thumbs up. That's what I'm looking for. I'm used to youth kids doing this on a Sunday morning. And on a Wednesday night going, we can hear you. We can hear you. Because it's a Sunday morning. So Ashley and I, I've been at South Reno Baptist Church since 2016, August 28th, 2016. That's, wow. Anybody else feel that? We've been back in Nevada for 7 years this year. That does not feel like that at all. So I've been over at South Reno, and they were kind enough to give me my first full-time ministry experience, and I love South Reno. They mean a lot to me. It's where I met my wife, and I told her the first time I met her, I was just speechless, and that was the first time in a very long time. So everybody mark it down in your books. The day I met my wife, I had no words, okay? So I met her, and she has been a very valuable asset to our youth. I am very extroverted and excited, and yeah, we're going to do youth stuff, and who's ready to go? And all our introverts are like, oh man, that guy, what did I walk into? So Ashley definitely is just so helpful, especially when it comes to our introverts and our extroverts. She's got that talent too, but for those who are a little bit more quiet, sit on the sidewall and are just trying to breathe right now, she goes over and talks to him and lets him know, don't worry, I'm trying to breathe with you, okay? So, but she's been very helpful, and this is how I knew that she was the gal for me. She was pretty, she stayed around me, but third and most importantly, she loved Jesus Christ, and it showed. Every time we were around our youth kids, we weren't even dating at the time, she friend-zoned me. I know, she made me a friend first. Instead of dating me right away, she put me in my place and said, we need to be friends first. I want to get to know you. Even in that moment, when she would come and help us with youth stuff, her main priority was our kids. It wasn't me. And I went, well, I haven't seen that. What are you doing? What are you doing? And so she and I, we lead the youth group over at South Reno Baptist Church, and we've been very excited. We've seen a lot of amazing things happen. We've seen God work in mighty ways, and we love seeing that. If that doesn't get you excited, we're going to talk in a second. I'll let you know why it should get you excited, okay? That just gets me excited. Seeing a kid come to know Christ, then seeing them grow in their walk, then seeing them equipping others to do the same. That's our whole thing in youth group is lead, grow, equip. We want to lovingly lead students to Christ, help them grow in their walk with Him, and equip them to do the same for others. And because of that, because we are letting God work and just stepping back and saying, all right, whatever you want, here you go, we are seeing great and mighty things. Now, when I first got there, South Reno wasn't really a camp sort of culture. A lot of our kids didn't go to camp. I know you guys typically go to Cowboys Rest, right? Does your senior adult class still collect cans for camp and everything? I just love that. Oh, I love that so much. So anyways, we didn't have that big of a camp culture, and I was like, come on, you guys have never been to camp? You gotta be kidding me. Let's go to camp. Camp's awesome. You get to have fun. You get to be away from it all. You get to dive into the Word. You don't have cell phone service, so I know you're really away from it all. And so we started going to camp, and at first, we took 4 kids. And I said, oh, okay, Lord, all right, you know, 4 kids. You can still work. Go ahead. And 2 out of those 4 came to know Christ. And I went, yeah, I knew it. And so we come back, and it was a pretty big hassle to try and get out there. There was a lot of paperwork. As you who have led youth know, the joys of youth camp paperwork and liability waivers that say, if their arm falls off, it's not our fault, is what that basically says. But we go to camp. And so the next year, I said, all right, I'll give it another shot. I saw God work. If one kid came to know Christ, then fine, I will take 1 kid to go to camp. So we go to camp again. Again, only 4. It's like, what is, camp is fun. We're playing redneck paintball. You ever played redneck paintball? Oh, let me tell you. You take a slingshot and you give it to a 12-year-old and give them a bag of paintballs and then push them in the forest with a bunch of others just like them and then blow a whistle and watch them going around shooting each other around trees. It's amazing. And so I thought, who wouldn't want to go to that? That's exciting. And while we're getting them to do fun things, I can tell them about Jesus. This would be awesome. And only 4 went. And so I went, okay. I watched you work last year. So I know you'll do it again. I'm not quite sure how, but okay, we'll just go for it. So we go, and camp is going great. This is just this past year, and camp's going pretty good, and we're having a lot of fun. It's a continuing series, and you watch the videos, and then you go out, and you have track time, and some of the track times are really neat. They have, not only do they have, like, adventure track, but they also have missions track, where you learn about missionaries and how to be a missionary. They have apologetics tracks, where you learn about defending your faith. It's really, really awesome. And what I like to do to spend time with my students and to see and experience it with them, I just pick a track each day. Which track time am I going to? It's got to be somebody different. I'm going to go see what they're doing, just kind of get a feel and be with them. So when we come back at night for what they call church group time, I can talk to them about it. So every night, church group time. And you get given this little tiny folder. And on the little folder, it says the Bible study that you went through that day and then an activity that you're supposed to do. Well, there were so many people at camp this past year that they didn't have any more rooms for us to have church group time. We couldn't go to one of the cabins because those are, you know, gender separated. You can't, you know, have boys in the girls' cabin, the girls in the boys' cabin. That just doesn't work out. But you also can't go to the cafeteria because there's another church group there. You can't go up to the amphitheater because there's a big church group there. And what do you think they do with the group of four? They give us the literal wagon out front of the camp store. And they're all rolling, dying laughing. Oh, isn't it just like Nevada to get the Old West wagon? Yeah, man, that's great. And I'm like, come on. You couldn't give us something with a roof over it? It's going to rain tomorrow. So we go, and I think, okay, well, half these activities require chairs, a big space. So I didn't know what to expect, but I was kind of starting to not like church group time. I liked it in a sense because our kids could come back and talk, but you could tell they weren't really wanting to talk about what happened. They just want to go have some more fun and get connected with other students and be able to talk with other students. We had some students who were coming up to me saying, hey, this other kid's going through a rough time. How should I talk to him? Where in the Bible should I go and talk? So it's not like they weren't being connected in that way. It's not like it was terrible, but I wasn't feeling church group time. And all the kids had a profession of faith. So I thought, well, this trip, you know, we're not leading anybody to Christ, but at least they're growing. I'm excited they're growing, but, you know, it's not going to be like that big tearful moment like last time. So we come to our last church group time, and we're all sitting there, and the last church group time, everybody has to go around and share their testimony. They have to share. For those of you who don't know what a testimony is, most of you do, but for those of you who don't, it's basically sharing your story of what God has done in your life, how he came and saved you. You share before you had Jesus, you share how you came to know Jesus, and then you share what is life like after Jesus. And so we broke it up for each of the students. And so sitting in that little wagon, we're going around, and I'm sharing mine. You know, I was at VBS, and my sister was chasing me on the playground and wouldn't let me go. And finally, it clicked for me when she had chased me around half the playground that I need Jesus. And so we go on to the next part. I'm not going into the full story because this isn't the point of the wagon, okay? This isn't the point of church time right now for that camp church time. So I go around and I go, all right, here's our other leader. She's going to share her story. Then there's another kid who shares his story. And I was there for a couple of their, you know, times when they came to know Jesus. And then we get to this one girl named Maddie. And Maddie is just one of those girls that if it's up here, it's out here, okay? Do you know, some of you went, oh, I just thought of three names of people in my life. Austin White, Kevin White, and Bo White. But, so anyways, she's that kind, and she's my pal. Madison, she always comes up to me and goes, I'm not funny. And then in the next 5 minutes, Ashley and I are laughing so hard, I'm crying and doing my funny little laugh. And oh my goodness, Madison just, she kills me. But she gets to her testimony, and it starts off like mine, sort of. She was a little kid. She came to know Jesus Christ. She got baptized. And all of a sudden, she got kind of quiet. We just kept staring at her thinking, okay, this is a heartfelt moment, right? Shouldn't it be when you're coming to know your Lord and Savior? Shouldn't that be a heartfelt moment? So we're just sitting there. And all of a sudden, she goes, and then my grandma passed away. And I realized, I don't know Jesus. I had just done it because my sister did it, and I really didn't know what I was doing. And I need him right now. What do we do? All of a sudden, she's sharing her own testimony and comes to know Jesus Christ. How many times have we read in the Bible, Pastor Mark, Pastor Jared, all of us have preached that the greatest tool you can have is your own story in sharing your faith. How many times have we preached that? Oh my goodness, and here I am sitting. I told her all the time her greatest tool is her own story to share her faith, and she came to know Jesus telling her own story. Not only was this a big moment of her accepting Jesus, this was something I'd never even seen. There was not a dry eye in the wagon that night, I want you to know. So if you will, turn with me to Acts chapter 1. We're going to be looking at verses 4 through 8. And then we're going to hop over just a little bit into 12 through 14 and then the beginning of chapter 2. But Acts chapter 1, okay? So Madison, now she knows. I tell that story on her all the time. Anytime I tell somebody, you know, we had four kids go to camp and they go, only four? Are you kidding me? Only four? And I go, have I got a story for you? It's about church group time, a wagon, and not a dry eye. All right, let me tell you this story. But my question was, after thinking about that and praying, this is something I actually shared with my students, this message I bring to you today, I shared with my students 2 weeks ago. And the big question I had was, why is it that we gather together with these things and not expect something big to happen? Why? Why in the world did I go to church camp knowing that the God of the universe, who created everything, and apart from him nothing was created, would not do something big while I'm at camp? Why? I sat and I had to repent of that. And I had to apologize. God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I didn't expect you to do something big. How dare I ever think something like that? How shameful. Because let's take a look at some of the big things that God has done when he showed up, right? Looking in the Bible, anybody remember Moses? Anybody? That proves all your age. Half of you said, yes, you remembered him. How close? Oh, I'm just kidding. What's funny is that it was a lot of... No, I'm just kidding. No, we all remember Moses, right? And if you don't remember Moses as Charlton Heston, then you probably haven't seen the movie. Because everybody remembers Charlton Heston standing before the sea and raising that staff up into the air. And God, as it says, with a mighty blow of his nostril, in the movie especially, with a mighty blow of his nostril, parted the waters. That was God. That was not some puny man with a stick. It wasn't. God showed up. God was there to begin with. He was with them, and he proved it. Not only did he part the waters, but he provided for them every step of the way, guided them, protected them from the Egyptians behind them. It destroyed the Egyptians who were behind them. How big was that? Why wasn't I expecting that at church camp? That's the same God. Let's look again. So he performs big, unexpected miracles like that, but he also heals relationships. When you look in Genesis chapter 45, it's when Joseph and his brothers are healing their relationship. Joseph was sold into slavery. He goes through a lot. We went through it as a youth group. It was 12 weeks worth of stuff, okay? Just to like, and that was just us kind of skimming some of the things that Joseph was going through in our Bible study group. There was a lot that that man went through, highs and very lows. And it all started with his brothers. And here his brothers come during a famine and they say, we need help. We desperately need help. And Joseph kind of plays the fool at first a little bit. He kind of tricks them and just pretends like he's not their brother. But in this chapter, verse 5, he reveals who he is. And he says in verse 5, and now don't be worried or angry with yourselves for selling me here, because God sent me ahead of you to preserve life. God was there. God was there from when Joseph was sold into slavery. God was there when his brothers faked his own death. God was there from then and beyond, but God was really here, especially healing that relationship. And because he healed the relationship between the brothers, a nation was saved. And because that nation was saved through that bloodline, we have a man, more of a God than a man, named Jesus Christ, who came to save the world. When God physically showed up right at that moment incarnate. The whole world was saved. I should rephrase, the whole world had the opportunity, but at the same time, he died for the sins of the world. For everyone. He took a look at the little fat goatee man that married the most beautiful woman in the world and works at South Reno and said, I love him enough, I will die for him. God showed up and a mighty work happened. Now let's take a look at our scripture now. We're going to see something else that happened huge in the life of the disciples who actually followed Jesus. So starting in verse 4 of chapter 1, the Word of God says, while he was together with them, this is Jesus with his disciples, while he was together with them, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the Father's promise. This, he said, is what you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, at this time, are you restoring the kingdom of Israel? So Jesus has died, and he's risen again. And they're still wondering about the physical kingdom of Israel. The man standing right in front of you. And you're still wondering about a physical... This is something bigger that God has done for you. This is something on the eternal scale. This is something that will never pass away. Something that's been prophesied for hundreds and thousands of years. All the way back in Genesis, God had this plan ready to go. And here they are thinking it's something physical. We'll come back. Starting in verse 7 again. He said to them, it is not for you to know times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, if you need to flip a page real quick, we're going to hop to verse 12. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olive Grove, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. When they arrived, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying. Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. All these were continually united in prayer, along with the women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before you, we ask, Lord, that you would do a great and mighty work tonight. Lord, that you would show us and reveal to us, speak to us and through us, through your word here tonight, Lord. Show us exactly how big a work you did in our lives long before we were even born. We thank you for this gift, Father. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So these men, thankfully, they listened. Because there's not always that they listened, right? They're human. They're sinful. They don't always get things. They're not the brightest. There's a reason that God calls us sheep, okay? There have been stories of sheep that'll follow each other right off the cliff just because they're following each other right off the cliff. There's some that you could, like, lay a stick in front of, and if you get one sheep to jump over the stick, even though they just need to step over it, the whole flock will step over. Listen, we are sheep. We are not always the brightest people in the world, especially when it comes to the Creator's plan and the Creator's purpose for what he is doing things here. So here they are, and they decided, well, we know that we don't know a whole lot, but what we're going to do is we're going to be united in prayer. We're going to take it before God. We're going to come together and we're going to listen. He said stay, so we're going to stay. Now, what they were waiting for is this Holy Spirit. And I want you to understand how big this was. So let's go to the very, very beginning. And I'm talking about in the beginning there was nothing. Okay, let's go that far back. So in the very, very beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He created everything on the earth, under the earth, on top of the earth, in the heavens, everything. Including you and me. And after everything, he said it was good. After he made us, he said it was very good. He loved us that much already. And he just made us. Nothing but dirt, right? And he said it was very good. And he breathed his life in us and made us in his own image. How much love do you have to make somebody in your own image, trying to provide them with everything? And then He gives them pretty much paradise. This beautiful garden. He says, hey, what I want you to do is subdue the earth. I want you to be fruitful and multiply. I've got some work for you, but trust me, you're going to be with me and I with you and I love you. But the one thing you can't do is this here tree. Don't eat from it. And it's at this point when Adam and Eve become selfish. That's really what sin is if you think about it. It's being selfish. It's saying my plan, not God's plan. And so they said, it's our plan. Aha! And they grab the apple and they take a bite, or the fruit, whatever it was, a mango, I don't care. Jackfruit. They took a bite of it. And from then on out, we were born into sin. Sin is anything that is against God. Sin is anything, the word literally means miss the mark. It's like an archery term. If you completely miss the mark, they write down sin. Because we missed God's mark. But God said, I don't want it that way. That's not how I intended. I'm going to bring it back to my purposes because I'm God and I get what I want because what I want is perfect and holy and will benefit absolutely everybody. And so he sets forth this plan, and for generations and generations, these people are hearing of this Messiah that will come. He's working through them. He's working through his people. He sets up Israel. It's like this beacon of worship to let them know this is what things are really supposed to be like. Follow them. Follow me. And he sets it up, but that's not a perfect thing. It's perfect because it's part of God's plan, but because we're sinful and we're the imperfect part of that plan, we screw it up constantly. And how many times did Israel have to have somebody come up to them, knock them in the head? And my dad always does this from Back to the Future. You remember that movie where the big guy, Biff, comes up to McFly and he's knocking him in the head? He goes, hello, McFly. Anybody in there, McFly? That's what it's like. How many times have we had to have that knock on the head? Is anybody home? Because God would always say, this is what I want you to do. And they'd go, ah, that's great for a month. And then they'd turn away and go do their own thing. How many times did they do that? And so God said, no, here's what I'm going to do. Not only am I going to send my son to die for you and save you from your mess that I don't have to clean up. I could just wipe you off the earth. I've proven that once already, haven't I? And he says, not only am I going to do that, but I'm going to call you my children. And not only am I going to do that, I'm going to come live inside you. My spirit will be in you. The holy, perfect, living God is inside all who believe and accept him. And because of that, they're able to do far beyond what they could have done on their own. Now they have that perfect God who's willing to work miracles in them and through them, who's willing to show them and guide them away from their sin, who's willing to save them from their sin, who's willing to be there every step of the way and help them grow into the people he truly meant us to be. That's how big that is. Because before that, they were living like this. And they had the law written on the hand. But every once in a while, they do that. Every once in a while, they do this. I'm going to look past the law, see if I can do this on my own. And they would trip and stumble. Trip and stumble. But now God says, no, 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 no. I want to be with you. I want to be with you. And so this big thing, let's look in chapter 2. This big thing is happening to these disciples. When the day of Pentecost had arrived, this is chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had arrived, they were all together in one place. Just like he told them, remember? Suddenly a sound like that of a violent rushing wind from heaven, and it filled the whole house where they were staying. And tongues like fires of flame that were divided appeared to them and rested on each one of them. Then they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different languages as the Spirit gave them ability for speech. Now in the next few verses, we hear that there's many Jews and many people from different lands in Jerusalem. And these disciples are speaking their language and telling them of the miracle of what Jesus has done for them. There was a purpose. There was a plan. They weren't going to be able to do that before, understand? My brother lives in Pakistan, and in order to learn Urdu, it took him years to be fluent. He still now has some times where, I mean, he's considered fluent, but there's still a couple times where he'll look at me and go, I have no idea. I have no idea. But that's because he had a dictionary, he had an Urdu teacher, and his Urdu teacher already knew English. So picture it back here. You think they're going to have a little pocket dictionary to carry in their robe? Don't think so. You think they're going to have a teacher to teach them? Maybe. Depends on the language. Depends on if there's a common ground between the two and they're able to understand the language, the heart language of those people, and to really reach them. And here, in one moment, one giant moment, God gives him his Holy Spirit, and now we'll send them out, and they'll be prepared and ready to go. What a big thing! Oh my goodness! Because when I was reading this, I have that same spirit. God blessed me with that same spirit. And so, just like McFly, it had to click for me. Oh my goodness. When I come here, when I'm here in the presence of God who is with me at all times, I should expect the biggest, greatest thing to ever happen. I should be expecting to be a part of his plan, to find out, God, what do you want from me? How do you want me to speak to this person? What message do you want me to bring? Where do you want me to be involved? God, I'm here and I'm ready, because I know beyond the shadow of a doubt, you're doing a mighty work. I should expect something to be big. I shouldn't come for the food. I shouldn't come for the friendships. I shouldn't come for the amazing music, although that was tempting. I love Annie's music. Oh my, every time I come, she plays something special for me. I just love that. I come to say hi to everybody. I was telling Jeremiah, I don't know who swallows me up more when he hugs me, him or his dad. I shouldn't come to see old friends who've been family friends for years and years and years, like Ann Mulkey, who when I first got here, I didn't hardly know anybody. I barely knew Ann. And guess who always sent me a Christmas card in your little letterbox back there? And birthday cards still. Little Miss Ann Mulkey. As precious as she is, as beautiful as that music is, and as good as I know the food can be, I shouldn't come for that. I should come for what God is doing, what he will do. Now, how do I prepare myself? How do we get ready? Because some of you are going, okay, it's real easy when I get here on Sunday night and expect something big to happen, but tomorrow's Monday. What should I do? Let me tell you. Look at what these disciples did. When they were coming and they were gathering together and praying, they came with an open heart ready for change. They knew change was coming. And their hearts were open for it. They came with an open mind ready for miracles. Yeah, they didn't quite know what Jesus was going to do and what was going to happen, but they knew something was going to happen. And they knew that it was possible. These are the same guys who did miracles themselves and also saw Jesus heal people just by touching the brim of his cloak. Just by barely touching it, people were healed. They've seen it. They know it'll happen. And then they came with an attitude of humility. God is God and we are not. And a willingness to serve. They had all that understanding. And then they did what we all should be doing. Being united in prayer. Coming before God and saying, God, work in us. Work through us. Do your mighty work. Have your mighty way. Let's bow our heads. As the musicians come, we're going to have a time of invitation. And what that means is that I'll be standing up here. Pastor Mark will be standing up here. And you have an opportunity to respond to what God is talking to you about. You've probably heard something in here. You probably know what God has been trying to help you with, get you past. Maybe tonight that big thing for you is just getting up the courage to go and make amends in a relationship that you know is broken. Maybe tonight is that night when you finally take that big step of courage to do something God has called you to do that you thought, oh, I don't have the skill or talents to do that. I don't know if I can do that. That might be your big thing. Or, like these disciples, and like little Miss Maddie in the wagon, your big thing is accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Accepting that gift that he has freely offered to you when he didn't have to. But we got to come prepared and allow God to work in us. So let's all pray together. You may be struggling with one of these or more. No matter what it is, I'm going to pray over all of you. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you and we ask for each and every one of these people, including myself, Lord, that you would help us to have an open heart ready for change. That when you say, this is what I want to change of your life, this is how I want to make things better, this is how I want a relationship with you, Lord, that we would not stand in your way and allow you to make that change. Father God, we also pray for an open mind ready for miracles. Lord, that we need to understand the unexpected will probably happen. You are far above us, Lord. And speaking of being far above us, Lord, we pray that you would help us have an attitude of humility, to remember that you are God and we are not, and a willingness to serve, Father, to be able to say, yes, I surrender, I'm ready. Whatever God you change, whatever miracle you do in my life, whatever thing you tell me to do, I give up and I'm ready to do it. And tonight, if that's you who needs to make that commitment to follow Jesus, who needs to finally surrender, be open for change and ready for a miracle, I want you to pray with us. And make this your own. This is between you and God. This is your conversation between you and Him, not me and you. But pray, Lord, I am sorry for everything I've ever done. Lord God, I know that I have been a sinner, and I know that I may slip up in the future, but I'm willing to change. I'm willing to turn and repent of my sins, Lord. Do a complete 180. I'm no longer Austin. I am your child. Lord, I believe that your Son died and rose again for me. I believe that with all my heart. I know that He did that. And I also confess that you are now the Lord of my life. You are the master of everything. And if you prayed that prayer tonight, in Jesus' name, always in Jesus' name, I want you to be able to come forward and make that commitment. Come forward and surrender. Take that one step. Let that big thing happen and get plugged into this family or to any other local church that's nearby you, if you're from some other state or anything. But get plugged in and grow in your walk with Him. Let's sing. Would you stand with us as we sing? And as we sing, you come.